Welcome to Body Sculpt of New York, 6 weeks to fitness podcast, where we hope to inform, motivate, encourage, and inspire you towards living a healthier lifestyle. And now, here's your host, the president of Body Sculpt of New York, Vince Ferguson.
Hi, I'm Vince Ferguson. Welcome to 6 Weeks to Fitness, episode number 94. Thank you so much for tuning in. This episode is brought to you in partnership with O2 Worldwide, creators of O2 Drops, liquid stabilized oxygen and minerals. Studies have shown that disease cannot exist in an oxygenated environment. When you give your body what it needs, the body will heal itself. Try O2 Drops today and feel the difference. For more information, visit www.giveyourbodythebest.com or call 917-523-7379 and learn how O2 Drops can improve your physical and financial health. Dr. Phoenix Austin is the founder of the Fit Beauty Shop, the creator of Dr. Phoenix Nutrition, a best-selling author and communications consultant. A certified sports nutrition specialist, Dr. Phoenix specializes in providing nutrition products and practical tips to help women achieve a fit, healthy, and beautiful body from the inside out. Highly respected for her expertise in both fitness and nutrition, as well as her passion for making healthy living fun, Dr. Phoenix has been featured in many major publications and has served as an on-air health and fitness expert on networks such as ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, News One Now, and Radio One. I am pleased to have Dr. Phoenix Austin on our 6 Weeks to Fitness podcast. Dr. Phoenix, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. But before we talk about your career in health and fitness and your exercise philosophy, let's talk a little bit about you, okay?
Okay.
Now, where did you grow up?
Well, I'm originally from Panama. I was born in Panama, and I came to the U.S. My family's originally from Central America and the West Indies, so we came to the U.S. when I was a little girl, landed in Queens, New York, grew up until my early, early teens in New York, and then we moved down to Florida, North Tampa, Florida area. I went to school down here, and I'm currently in Florida right now, undergrad at UF. Med school at Meharry Medical College in Nashville. I've really been all over. Spent time in the military as a military physician at Lackland Air Force Base.
Really?
In San Antonio, Texas. So, my childhood and upbringing has kind of been, you know, pretty much all over the place. And I've seen a lot, you know, I've been fortunate.
Oh, most definitely. Now, I had no idea of about your background. So you are a veteran as well.
Yes, I'm an Air Force vet.
Oh my goodness, I was in the U.S. Navy many years ago, so I can really identify with that.
I did see that on your bio.
Oh man, I'm speaking to a fellow veteran. This makes it even more interesting. Who were your role models growing up, Dr. Phoenix?
My parents, of course, that was the first in proximity to me, but also I read a lot. I've always loved reading. So I grew up reading a lot of fiction initially.
Yes.
So people like Nikki Giovanni, Maya Angelou, also Alexandre Dumas, which a lot of people don't know that he wrote The Count of Monte Cristo as well as The Three Musketeers. So
definitely.
I grew up, very much into fiction writing, and that played into my love of writing. And then eventually, my role models took more of the nonfiction realm. And actually, who kind of straddled that, another individual, he's since passed, but I felt an immediate connection was Michael Crichton.
Yes.
Which a lot of people are not familiar that he, they were Jurassic Park, VR, things like that. But Michael Crichton was also an MD. And he wrote those wonderful best-selling books, and which ultimately turned into, movies and TV shows. But ultimately books have been, a lot of my role models. I didn't meet these people personally.
Right.
But it was like, they were kind of like mentors in my head, so to speak. And then also one of the most amazing books, that I came across actually when I was in medical school, which shaped a lot of my entrepreneurial pursuits was the 4-hour work week by Tim Ferriss.
Oh, yeah.
So, I would say a lot of my mentorship has come through books, actually.
Huh. Amazing. But after all this, all the mentorship from reading, you decided mm-hmm. to pursue a career in fitness and health.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Now, how did that come about from all the career paths you could have chosen?
I've always had a strong interest in health, fitness, primarily nutrition. I would say, and then fitness, you know, playing into that, but under the umbrella of health. So I went into medical school already with an idea that I wanted to shape my career a bit differently than what was traditionally being presented to med students, which is like, you know, you graduate, you go through residency, you work in a hospital, you do private practice. And that really wasn't what I was interested in. I've grown up in a time where social media and individuals like Dr. Oz, you know, where I'm seeing individuals like that, and I was like, this is really, really cool, you know, and then you can also present this information on a larger scale and give yourself the opportunity to do different things, because I knew that I wanted to eventually write books and have products and all that stuff. So that's essentially, you know, how it came about, and it was really serendipitous. It was like, you know, when I was in medical school, I was writing a lot of fiction just, you know, on my own. And I thought that I would come out with like a fiction novel, like a psychological thriller. One of my degrees is in psychology, so I have this strong interest in psychology. And it just happened to be that I decided to write an article on one of the patients that I had in my third year. It was a elderly black woman who had diabetes, and long story short, she wasn't controlling her diabetes, so we ultimately had to amputate her foot.
Oh, wow.
So I wrote a story on that, kind of like a creative nonfiction piece telling her story. Of course, I changed names and all that.
Yes.
But I published it, and the local newspaper and then ultimately the Fox News station in Nashville saw it. And they were just like, oh, my God, this is amazing. Hmm. What doctor wrote this? And it wasn't a doctor. I was a med student.
Right.
So they ended up bringing me in on TV. That was my first media exposure. And I just got bitten by the bug. And I saw that I had a knack for explaining complex medical topics.
Yes.
Like in a very down-to-earth, you know, entertaining way where people were educated, but they also didn't, you know, they weren't bored to death. And that's kind of like how things started to take shape for me. It's been an interesting route. It's like I always knew that there was something different that I wanted to do, but I've had like these wonderful experiences along the way that have ultimately crystallized things for me.
Oh, I can see that. That's amazing. Absolutely. So now, are you still practicing medicine?
No. I served my time with the military. And once I was done, I was out, because I knew that, you know, there's only so many hours in a day, and all the things that I wanted to do, practicing clinical medicine was going to ultimately pull me away from a lot of that. You know, I had to be realistic about it. And as a businesswoman, I mean, first and foremost, I am a business. I have my business. I have my products. So I have to be able to devote attention to that. So once I was done, I basically, you know, went the direction that I was planning on going.
Wow. Now, where are you currently located?
I actually go between Florida and D.C. I'm currently in Florida as I'm talking to you right now because I'm just feeling this warm weather.
Oh, definitely.
You know, I mean, I'm Panamanian, so this is like home to me, this kind of weather. And I like being near the water, too. So I'm currently down in Florida.
Now, are your services limited to Florida, or are you basically national, international, when you do your...
No, I mean, that's the cool thing about what I do. I literally can work from anywhere. In addition, you know, to my products, my business, which I can be anywhere, unless I'm like specifically having to be in Florida or DC for something. Yes. A lot of my work, like my consultation, which is within the communications realm, so content development for other organizations, I mean, that's something that I can easily do from anywhere.
Yes. Now, let's talk a little bit about your exercise and your exercise philosophy. How often do you work out, Dr. Phoenix?
I like to work out every day. It's like a drug for me, honestly. And it's not even because, like, it's because I get energized from it. And when I say exercise, like, a lot of people are just like, oh my gosh, are you in the gym every day? It's not even that. Every morning, first thing in the morning, I like to, walk during sunrise, cause that just gets my brain going. I'm a deep thinker. Like, I'm constantly coming up with ideas and things that I want to do and products, and content. So I like to exercise because I find that during exercise is when my brain really gets supercharged.
Oh, most definitely. That's where you do most of your thinking, huh?
Exactly, exactly. I really do feel off when I don't exercise. Like, it's religious to me. And like I said, it's as simple as walking. Like, I mean, walking to me is exercise. Of course, I do other things like lifting weights and jumping rope, but walking is like the foundation of it, and that's something I do every single morning. It doesn't matter where I am. I will go, you know, put on my flip-flops because I'm here in Florida, and just go walk.
Okay, so what do you do when you're talking to clients or prospective clients and they want to know how often should they work out? Do you recommend the same type of routine for them?
Yeah, I do, because, I mean, I'm a firm believer in doing things that you love when it comes to fitness. What
yes.
I found with a lot of people is they get in this mindset of, like, whatever they see the latest guru doing on TV, or they've read an article and they feel like that's what they should be doing. Like, they'll read something and they'll say, like, kettlebells burn X amount of calories per minute. And they're like, okay, I got to do kettlebells. But then they end up hating kettlebells, and they do it for maybe like a weekend, and that's it. So I always tell people to do what they love. And what I've consistently found, you know, is that, interestingly enough, most people love walking because they're able to. What I also like to do when I walk is listen to audiobooks, or I'll watch YouTube videos. And I tell people to do that. And they're just like, oh, my gosh, you know, I actually like walking. I really, really enjoy walking. And I don't even realize. Like, one lady told me she walked for 5 miles. And she didn't even realize it, whereas when she used to go run, she used to go to the gym and get on the treadmill and try to run, you know, because she was like the treadmill. And she could only run for about 5 minutes before she was just like, I hate this. But now she walks every single day, at least 5 miles, and she loves it. And she's lost weight. It's been completely, like, effortless for her because she's doing something that she enjoys. And now it's become a part of her lifestyle.
That's excellent. And that was brings me to my next point, because I am very concerned about the obesity epidemic. And as you know, obesity, along with other chronic diseases like diabetes, heart disease, and hypertension, and cancer, has increased over during the last 20 to 30 years. In your opinion, what is the reason for this?
Well, you know, there's different factors. I will say, number one, nutrition. People don't have a lot of education when it comes to nutrition. Even myself, when I was in medical school, to be quite frank, we didn't learn about nutrition. So we learned a lot about how to treat diseases with medication after the fact, but there wasn't a lot of disease prevention education. So when I came out, I had to really immerse myself into, you know, educating myself about nutrition and fitness. Unfortunately, I befriended a lot of people that were in the bodybuilding and fitness industry. So I was able to get all the great knowledge from them, and then also books as well. But I think that's something with the general public. They don't know much about nutrition. They fall, you know, victim to a lot of propaganda that's out there.
Yes.
Fitness also, like I said, people are not choosing activities that they love. Therefore, they look at fitness as something that's drudge work. Whereas I don't look at fitness like that at all. And people that end up loving fitness and making it a habit, it's like literally things, they do things that they enjoy. So things that they want, it's like they want to put fitness into their lifestyle because they derive so much pleasure from it. And, you know, I think that's basically what it comes down to. And it kind of taps into that whole pleasure principle with people.
Yes.
I mean, we're creatures of pleasure. So to sustain anything long term, we have to do things that we enjoy. Like, it's okay to understand that things are going to be challenging for like a set period of time. So you may have some obstacles. You may have to do a certain workout, like lifting weights. I'm an advocate of lifting weights. Even if you don't like lifting weights, there's so many benefits, especially to women, you know, where osteoporosis prevention, building muscle to help keep our metabolism high because we lose muscle as we age. So I advocate that women do some type of strength training, even if you don't like it, because the benefits do outweigh the risks. But at the same time, when we're looking for the long term, I think it's really, really important to do things that give us pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Oh, most definitely. And I like what you're saying about lifting weights and how you recommend it, especially to women, because I know a lot of women, and most of my audience are women, they think that lifting weights is going to make them look big like men.
Oh, no, no. I actually just did a video on that on my YouTube channel because that is so common.
Yes.
And the women were really, really excited. I mean, I primarily speak to women, hence my Fit Beauty shop and my products that are my nutritional products that geared toward women. So I get a lot of those questions from women about, oh, won't this make me big and bulky? And, these are women where it's just they just need that education. And once they realize it, they're like, oh, my gosh. You know, women that were, like, running from the weights, now all of a sudden they can't wait to get to the gym and lift the weights.
Oh, so now they're running to the weights.
Exactly. And, you know, I've had some women actually say that the endorphin rush, they notice that they get that rush from the lifting weight. So now they've become like literally just like weightlifting machines where their workout protocols are primarily weights, where they used to be like cardio queens. You know, they would go in and want to get on the treadmill for 2 hours. And now literally they switched up everything where it's like when they hit the gym, they're only focused on the weight with just minimal cardio. And they've been able to like ridiculously transform their body that way.
Hmm. So in your opinion, what's more important, nutrition or exercise?
Nutrition. I think hands down, like both go hand in hand. Yeah. You know, I wouldn't advocate someone just completely ignoring fitness because there are benefits from that. But if, you know, we took two people, and this is because, I mean, I've seen this in practice and then in theory, I mean, it makes sense. You take two people, you have someone who, you know, exercises like mad that eats a crappy diet. That person is not going to be able to achieve the physique that someone can achieve who just completely focuses on nutrition and does minimal exercise. I mean, I've seen people, and even with myself, I've been able to transform my physique with just honing in on my nutrition and doing minimal exercise like walking. You know, whereas if my diet was not on point, I would have to kill myself in the gym to reverse things. And even then, you're not going to be able to reverse things because you're doing so much damage on the inside from what you're eating.
Yes. Well, why is it that so many, even today, so many people think, and maybe you can tell me it's because of what they see on TV, that you have to get to the gym every day in order to see a difference. Most people think it's about going to the gym 7 days a week and eating whatever they want. Why is that today that there's such a misconception when it comes to nutrition?
Because that taps into the whole pleasure principle. I mean, a lot of people, well, for the most part, humans, we eat for pleasure.
Yes,
a lot of us, unless you're someone that's very, very, very in tune and very, very disciplined. Like if I like occasionally meet those people and typically they're like elite athletes or bodybuilders where they understand that, look, I cannot have this because it'll, you know, it'll just cause that little bit of fluctuation in water weight or fat, you know, metabolism, and I won't be stage ready. So there's some people where it's like they just look at food as fuel. That's it. It's not pleasure.
Right.
But for the average person, they eat because it makes you feel good. And then also in this day and age, people are under so much stress.
Yes.
So it's like you come home and you just want to decompress. So you grab something, comfort food, and you pop in front of the TV or what have you, you get that immediate gratification. And then because you understand the whole model, you know, people are saying calories in, calories out, which is true. The people then rationalize to themselves, okay, I've eaten all these things, these junk foods. Now I'm just going to go to the gym and make up for that. I'll just punish myself to burn those calories. Unfortunately, you know, that's not the healthiest way or the most sane way to go about things because, I mean, and I've said this before, and various people say this before, you know, said this before, you can't out-exercise a bad diet. There's just not enough hours in a day to do it.
Yes, yes. But you can eat healthy, and that can make all the difference.
Exactly. I mean, I've done it with myself. I've worked with clients in the past where literally, because of the lifestyle, just didn't have the time to exercise.
Yes.
So we completely honed in on the diet and they were able to significantly transform themselves a lot faster than if they just kind of ate whatever they want, but exercise 24/7.
Definitely. What role do you think sugar plays in the obesity problem and diabetes?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, there's like sugar in everything. Like,
yes.
You know, it's just being pumped into so many different foods. People don't even realize the sugar content. A lot of people aren't reading labels, or they just don't even understand what sugar really is. So, yeah, sugar is, to me, is the number one ingredient in food that's causing so much difficulty. And a lot of people think it's fat, but it's actually sugar.
Hmm. So how do you get your clients to curb their sugar cravings?
Well, I mean, I don't work with clients in that sense to, you know, directing their nutrition. When I give information in general on my, you know, website or on my YouTube channel, I speak with people in general. I really, really caution them on understanding, you know, that they're carbohydrates and sugar is a type of carbohydrate. So when you eat carbs, your body breaks that down into sugar. And then I also explain to them one thing that I've used. This is actually on a video that I did about a year ago. It's one of my most popular videos that I did on how to eat carbs and not gain weight. And how I break it down is that, you know, basically our body has a carb tank. That's what I define as glycogen. And I use this, you know, because then it drives it home. I'm like, you have a carb tank in your body just like a car. And you're putting in carbs. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, you're putting in carbs with the exception of fiber. Your body's breaking those carbs down into sugar. And if you're not burning off those carbs, your body is storing it in the tank. And eventually, it gets to the point where if you are putting a lot more in versus what you're burning off, the tank is going to overflow, and that's when you get to fat synthesis. That's when the fat cells start taking the glycogen and converting it to fat. So people, when I explain that to them, it's like it's basically like energy maintenance, kind of similar to how I was saying like bodybuilding stuff look at food as fuel. Now I start getting lay people to look at food as fuel and basically just understanding that, hey, you can have carbs. They're not the devil. But understand you have a tank that has a limited capacity. And once you go over that capacity, you're going to put on fat. It doesn't matter.
Very true. Very true. Now, in your opinion, what is the most effective exercise that that someone can do to lose weight and maybe even build a little muscle tone?
Let's see, if they wanted to do both, then I would say, you know, weightlifting, because walking is not going to, you know, it's not going to tone the muscle. You're not going to get that, you know, micro breakdown of the muscle that you will with the strength training. So if you're trying to do both, then I would say going to lifting weights. But I'm an advocate of incorporating walking into every protocol that you have. So I wouldn't tell the person, just lift weights, that's it, or do body weight exercises. I would tell them, you know, recognize that if you're trying to tone up, you have to do some type of strength training. If you're just trying to lose weight, then you can do cardio all day long. But personally, I like to go with both. But if somebody was just saying, I want to do those two things simultaneously, that's what I want to achieve, and you can only give me one workout, then it would have to be some type of workout that automatically has strength training in it. So when I say lifting, you know, basically that throws in weight, that throws in body weight exercises, kettlebells can qualify for that. Something else that I like to do that doubles as, you know, strength training and cardio is jumping rope.
Ah, yes.
So if somebody was, you know, to come to me and they were just like, okay, what exercise other than weightlifting, then I would say jumping rope, because that's something that I would do personally, that I do personally when I want to also tone up.
Okay, that sounds great. And would you say that a jump rope is like the least expensive exercise equipment you can buy?
Yes, I mean, it's very inexpensive. The only thing I will say this, jumping rope, for a lot of people, I've seen this, as much as I love jumping rope and I love it and I tell women about it, I understand that some people are just not as coordinated. And what I've seen with some folks is that they will pick up the jump rope and it becomes that same thing where they picked up a workout that they've heard somebody else talk about. They do it and they get frustrated because they don't pick it up. They're not able to do it as well. And then they stop exercising. I've seen that a lot with people. So I'm very skilled at jumping rope. But it's not something that I would say, this is the thing that you must do. You know, you got to have this, because the truth of the matter is, there's some people that just aren't as coordinated with jumping rope, and they would do just as well, if not better, doing another exercise that they enjoyed and that they were able to pick up a lot quicker.
Okay. Now, I know that you are, as you say, you're an advocate for jumping rope. You do it proficiently. Can someone learn how to jump just from watching you on one of your videos?
Absolutely. I've got a couple, actually, videos on my YouTube channel. I've also got an ebook on my site. If you come to my site and sign up, you get the free ebook. It's automatically delivered to you. And it's a Skip Yourself Fit. That's the title of the ebook, How to Jump Rope. So I go through, you know, the steps of jumping rope, tips to become more efficient, things that you should avoid that people don't realize. Like, for one thing, you should have an adjustable jump rope. A lot of people just grab a jump rope and start spinning it, and you
right.
actually
yes.
have to adjust the jump rope to your height. If you don't, then you're going to end up tripping on the rope, and that frustrates a lot of people. A lot of people just don't understand that there are certain mechanics to jumping rope that are going to make it easier for you to pick up jumping rope so you can develop that skill level.
So when you say adjust it to your height,
Well, the adjustment is, okay, imagine that you're holding, you know, jump rope handle each hand.
Mm-hmm.
You let the rope fall to the ground, the middle part, and you would step on the rope
right.
and then pull the handles up, and the handle should reach your armpit, okay? It should be right around your armpit or just close to the top of your shoulders. If
okay.
the rope is shorter than that or way higher than that, that's not going to be good. You're going to end up tripping on the rope, or it's going to be too short for you to jump, and that's where people get into problems. So there's definitely, you know, an adjustment that you're going to have to make for your height. And then also the type of rope that you use can be something big. I mean, a lot of people, and this is where the whole fat thing comes in, you know, they see something online where it's like people, CrossFit, for example, CrossFit has picked up jumping rope a lot. And
right.
some people will see the CrossFit jump ropes, which a lot of them are these steel cable wire jump ropes, which I hate.
Ah.
And they're very painful. You know, so if you're not good with jumping rope and you hit yourself with that rope, it's going to be very, very painful. The
yes.
thin wire cable. So I tell people, just go with a plastic jump rope that is adjustable, you know, almost like a kiddie, you know, jump rope. And that is going to be the best jump rope. I mean, that's even like professional level, and I've jumped rope professionally. That's what we
huh.
use.
Really?
You know, so, yeah, there's definitely nuances to jumping rope that a lot of people are not aware of. They'll, like, literally just grab a jump rope off of the shelf and just run with it.
Huh. Because the reason I'm so into this is because, well, for one, I have a program, an organization called Body Scope of New York. We do the Children's
mm-hmm.
Sports and Fitness Expo, and I'm always – you know, talking about different exercises that kids can do and, you know, adults to stay in shape. And I always talk about how boxers jump rope, you know,
mm-hmm.
and they're in some of the best condition that you'll find. So I believe in what
yeah.
you're doing. I believe in it.
Absolutely. I mean, it's the strength building, the cardio, the endurance, the agility, the footwork. I mean, jumping rope is the total package.
Yes.
But like I said, I mean, you're talking about boxers, so you're talking about an elite athlete.
Yes.
Which, you know, the average person,
mm-hmm.
sometimes they'll pick up the jump rope and it's just not their thing. It's just not. And I don't believe in forcing them to do it
yes.
because then they start to equate fitness with things that they hate.
Yes, so true. So you're saying that you advocate for people to enjoy whatever exercise activity they're doing. Otherwise,
exactly.
they're not going to do it.
Exactly. And then also, you know, sometimes it's learning, you know, learning the mechanics of it. Like I said, you know, learning that you have to adjust the jump rope. For example, I did a book signing event a couple months ago here in Tampa, and I was there to sign copies of my hair care book and my children's book. And the women, they had seen some jump rope videos that I've done on my YouTube channel. And I always travel with jump ropes, and, you know, on me. And one of the ladies was like, you know, can you teach us how to jump rope? We bought some jump ropes, you know, and they bought
right.
these jump ropes. I guess they bought it at Walmart or whatever. So I was like, no, these are not good ropes. Let me bring out my ropes. And I had a couple double Dutch ropes. So what I did, instead of having them, you know, single jump ropes individually, I had a few double Dutch. And these women loved it. I mean, it was so funny because the age range was from like 7 all the way to 60 plus.
Wow.
And all of the older women were doing double Dutch.
Really?
And they just loved it because they were just like, oh, my God, this is so nostalgic. I used to do double Dutch when I was a little girl.
Yes.
And, you know, it just took about like 10 minutes of instruction. I told them how to turn the rope, how to, like, jump in. Some of them even remembered because they did jump rope when they were little girls. And it was really, really fun. So, you know, like it goes back to that presenting things in a way that's enjoyable. You know, for some women, they're going to love the jumping rope. Some people are not going to love it. And I just believe in giving yourself the opportunity to try different things. And then once you find that thing that you love, just latch onto it.
I agree. Totally. Now, not only are you a physician, an author, fitness professional, but you're an entrepreneur. Was this always in the plans, or did you wake up one day and say, I think I want to be an entrepreneur?
No, I mean, I always knew that I wanted to have products because I love creating things. Initially it was books. I knew that I wanted to be an author, you know, and then eventually through experience and then landing on Tim Ferriss's book, then I started, and up until that point, I actually didn't even know the word entrepreneur. I knew business owner because my father has his own business. I understood having your own business versus your 9-to-5, but I didn't know about entrepreneurship. So when I landed on Tim Ferriss's book, I was like, that's what this is. That's what it is that I want to do.
Yes.
And it ultimately, what really tipped me over the edge, other than graduating from med school and then my time in the military and coming out, but my very first product, per se, as an entrepreneur was my hair care book that I published in 2012. That's a bestseller. It's a natural hair care book.
Really? Nice.
And it was the coolest experience because I wrote this, so I was like, I want to be an author, so I fulfilled that. But the way that I approached it, which was a bit strategic, was that I wanted to show women, because of my roots within health and then my passion for nutrition and fitness, what I wanted to do is show women, you know, something that basically broke down how nutrition is the foundation of what you look like on the outside. Because a lot of women with hair, they were focusing on the styling, you know, the shampoo, the conditioner that you were using, the hair care product. And a lot of women, and women like myself that are natural hair, and even women that, you know, process their hair, are always just like, what can I use to grow my hair stronger, longer, healthier? And I would like it's nutrition. And not just, you know, I'm not just telling you to eat healthy. I'll actually tell you what supplementation to take. You know, and women had never seen something like that before.
Yes.
So the book took off and, you know, still a bestseller, and that allowed me to segue into, you know, my products and nutritional supplements and ultimately the Fit Beauty Shop and Dr. Phoenix Nutrition, which is, you know, my line of products. So that's how it ultimately came about. It started with the book. But with the book, I wanted to usher women into the bigger picture of things, which is nutrition and fitness.
Nice. So you just mentioned the Fit Beauty Shop. What can my listeners expect to find when they visit your online store?
Well, the Fit Beauty Shop, I mean, the mantra is nutrition for a fit and beautiful body. That's what it is. That's the basis of it. So what you're going to see there are nutritional supplements under my name, my Dr. Phoenix brand supplements. And those supplements cater to either fitness or beauty or both. My best-selling product, the number one product, is Beauty Protein. And that is a supplement for healthy hair and body. So I have a lot of women that did not even understand how protein played into, you know, hair, skin, and nails. They had no clue.
Really?
You know, and then on top of it, I had a lot of women, ironically, that were running from protein because they thought that by taking protein, you were going to get big and bulky like a guy. I was like, wow, do you understand that, you know, by getting protein retrieved in your diet, you're actually going to be able to grow healthier hair because your hair is over 95% protein? And people were just like, no, I had no idea. You know, so basically that's what you're going to find at my shop. It's tying in all my passions, because I definitely, you know, am passionate about beauty, but beauty from the holistic and nutritional standpoint. You know, I'm not into makeup or anything like that. Maybe sometime in the future, I don't know, but I'm a bit of a tomboy. So what I focus on is, you know, nutrition.
So you're talking about feeding your body from the inside out.
Exactly. Which a lot of women, they didn't make that correlation. I mean, I've always seen that tie between fitness and beauty, that the glue that holding those two together was nutrition. And I just basically use my platform to show women that.
Wow, this is amazing. Now, what about Dr. Phoenix Nutrition? Is this a consulting service you provide?
Oh, no, no, no. That's my line of products. So the Fit Beauty Shop is an entity in itself. I mean, I could have called it drphoenixnutrition.com, but I didn't want to do that.
Okay.
You know, Fit Beauty Shop is the site, which is actually being built right now. I'm going through a transition in the next month. Fitbeautyshop.com will be where my products are housed. And then Dr. Phoenix will go through a transformation to just be my site for individuals that consult with me on a business level. So the products will move to their own site just to, you know, provide a delineation. Because some people come to me, you know, for consulting, for speaking engagements, but it has nothing to do with products.
Okay.
So I want to make sure, you know, that there's a little bit of a line between the two.
And do you speak all across the country?
Yeah, all over the place. I mean, I've gone to Trinidad and Tobago.
Oh, nice.
I've gone to, you know, all over the U.S. I'm gearing up, actually, for another event. In less than a month, we'll be at Virginia Tech University. So, you know, all over from, you know, health-based organizations to beauty, you know, natural hair groups.
Wow.
To universities, all over.
I have a friend in New York, actually, who does a natural hair show every year.
Absolutely. I mean, they're huge. They're absolutely huge. And that's how I got introduced to the natural hair community. I mean, I had the natural hair from when I was in medical school. But, you know, when I was, it was interesting how the natural hair book came about. Was that I was being contracted with different major publications, and I think at the time it was Ebony Magazine. They were contracting with me to write health-related articles, whatever I wanted to write on. So I was actually writing on different things, like top foods to get for healthy skin, to tips to lose weight. I mean, tons of, I was writing across the board on my interests. And at that time, there were no pictures of the contributing experts on the site. So you basically would read an article and it would just be a name, you know, written by Dr. Phoenix. So there, nobody knew who Dr. Phoenix, you know, what I looked like.
Right.
And the editor at the time, they were building up the page of contributors, and she asked for my headshot. So I gave her my headshot, and in that headshot, I had my hair out in a big afro, and she put it up on the site, and it went nuts. Like, the women were just, it was hilarious because I had written an article on fitness, but she had my headshot there with my hair out, and she literally told me that they were flooding their emails
Wow.
with women who were just like, we don't care about the fitness. We want to know what she does for her hair.
Oh, man.
So, you know, they were asking for more articles. They wanted hair articles, and I was just like, oh, you know, I can give tips on hair, but I'm going to come from an angle that you probably haven't seen.
Right.
You know, and she was like, that's fine, you know, go ahead. And it literally, that was like kind of my intro, you know, to the natural hair community. But the angle that I come from, which a lot of people are not accustomed to, the women, is from the nutritional fitness standpoint. So the women have grown with me, and, you know, it's really cool to watch them, that came from my hair articles and my hair care book that have literally followed me, you know, all the way to fitness now, where all they cared about was hair in the beginning.
Huh.
And now they're on my YouTube channel, and they're just like, oh, my gosh, I've, you know, started exercising because of you, and I now understand how everything ties together, so I want to take care of my body because I understand that taking care of my body is going to make me look good, it's going to make me feel good. And, it's, you know, that's the whole point of what I do.
Well, that's amazing. What an awesome service you provide. Amazing, you know. Now, let me ask you, let me circle back to your Fit Beauty Shop. I understand you also sell jump ropes, correct?
Yes, and I've sold out of them.
You sold out?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, currently it's sold out of the jump ropes. I'm looking to bring them in stock. It's kind of a limited item that I have. You know, I keep a limited stock of them for women that want the jump ropes. But, yeah, the jump rope is, you know, something that I sell as well, and there are definitely women that run on there and grab some, and they've taken up jumping rope, and they really enjoy it. Even some men, actually. I've had some men, a couple that I've seen on my Instagram that have tagged me down in the Dominican Republic that have picked up jump ropes as well from my shop.
Yeah, I actually watched one of your YouTube pieces, and I saw you introducing that, and I'm like, that they look awesome. I'm sure that they're very popular, and I'm sure some of my listeners might want to, you know, purchase a jump rope or two. So that's why I brought that.
Yeah, they'll be back on in a couple of weeks. They should definitely be back on. We're going to restock, and you know, folks will be able to come and grab some jump ropes.
Okay, great. Now, I've taken a lot more of your time than I thought I would, but let me just ask you a couple more questions, if you don't mind, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What general tips do you have for the average person who's trying to balance family and career with a fitness lifestyle?
Get really, really streamlined. Like, get creative and streamlined. For example, okay, this is a really, really good example. Well, how I said, you know, picking things that you love.
Yes.
And then also streamlining things. So how I say that I advocate that people walk, that in the most basic sense, if there's nothing else that you have time to do, then take up walking every day.
Okay.
Because it's effortless. So I have a woman who is married. She has kids, works a full time. She's actually a school administrator. She has a PhD. So her schedule is very, very hectic. So what I told her, because she mentioned to me, she's like, I've got to go into work super early in the morning, so I don't have time, you know, to get up really early because it's still dark outside, and I don't want to walk when it's dark.
Right.
When I get home, it's later, sun is setting. I don't want to walk when it's dark, getting dark. So she was like, what can I do? I don't, you know, and the gym is too far to drive to it. So I was like, get a treadmill, okay, because one thing she did mention is that she likes to wake up just early enough to watch the morning news.
Okay.
And then when she gets home, family time, you know, they're sitting down sometimes, and afterwards they do watch TV.
Got
so
it.
I was like, get a treadmill, put it in your room, okay, mm-hmm. in front of your TV, so whenever you have your TV time, that's also walking time. Okay,
nice.
So
yes.
Get on the treadmill. You can put it on the lowest setting. I don't care if you're walking like a tortoise. You walk. And she's doing that now. Now it fits totally into her lifestyle. She literally gets up out of bed. She turns on the TV and she just walks.
Wow.
While she's watching TV. And she was like, I would have never thought to do this. Because she's always, it's like a lot of people, they go how it's been presented to them. Go to the gym, go on the treadmill and run.
Right.
You know, everything is go to the gym or everything is you got to work out outside. And I'm like, no, there's so many ways. And she got, and I told her actually to get the treadmill off of Craigslist, to not just go into, you know, departments or whatever, get the treadmill, to actually go on Craigslist because there are tons of people getting rid of their treadmill.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that would have given her, and she got one for like $250. It's a really nice Nordic Track treadmill that she got.
Wow.
So $250, she got one, and now she is just walking, getting her exercise in every single day. It doesn't matter. She's just like, now it's like habitual to the point where anytime she wants to watch TV, which is like her downtime, she just gets on the treadmill, turns on the TV, and just walks.
Nice.
And she's able to watch TV.
Wow.
You know, and now she's told me she's looking to graduate to possibly getting one of those treadmill desks, which I love.
Okay.
You know, so when she has to work at her desk, she actually can do it on the treadmill. She can walk while she's, you know, on the computer. So that's what I would say. Like, at the very minimum, start walking. And I really, really think if someone's lifestyle is just so super busy that they can't get outside in the morning to walk or whatever, or they can't get out to the gym, look into investing into a treadmill. I mean, there's so many of them, and there's so many ways to get one that's super cheap.
Yes.
Bring it into your home, put it in front of the TV, so anytime that you were watching TV, I mean, there's a study, I think, that, you know, the average person watches like 3 hours of television a day.
Yes.
I'm like, that's 3 hours that you could walk.
Yes,
you know, and
exactly.
Not even realize it.
Burn some calories.
Exactly. So that's what I would advocate to anybody who's under a really, really tight schedule.
Oh, okay. Very, very good. What's next on Dr. Phoenix Austin's bucket list?
Well, I've got the Fitbee. I mean, that's a big project in itself. You know, the Fitbee shop is going to be launching, then my site. I'm a fervent believer. I'm kind of the type that believes in doing rather than saying what's going to be done.
Yes.
I just like doing things and then launching it and showing it. So typically, I mean, I get that question a lot. They're like, what's coming next? What's coming next? I mean, I'm a firm believer in show, don't talk.
Yes.
So I will say that. That's basically what comes, people will see it, you know, and it's always going to fall within the umbrella of what I call fit beauty, you know, teaching women how to achieve a fit and beautiful body. So whatever that is, it's going to, whatever comes next, it's going to fall within that mission.
Wow. Amazing. I hope we will be updated on what you're doing, because I believe in what you're doing. You are amazing.
Ah, thank you so much. Thank you. It was an honor, like absolutely an honor. Like I said, I looked up your stuff and I was just like, wow, I can't wait to speak with Mr. Ferguson. So thank you so much for reaching out to me.
No, thank you. Again, I want to spread information throughout my listeners about what you're doing, because the more that we know, the more they know, you know, about the people out there on the front lines sharing information and making a difference in the lives of people everywhere, the more important it is for all of us. We've got to, you know, share and spread the love, and also spread information about people who are out there doing things that needs to be done. And
absolutely.
I think you are amazing for sure. How can my listeners find out more about Dr. Phoenix, and can we follow you on social media?
Absolutely. You can come to drphoenix.com. Just spelled like my name, drphoenyx.com. That's like the hub where you're going to be able to find everything. My YouTube channel, my social media platform, that's like the main, you know, mothership. And then in time, like I said, within the next month or two, Fit Beauty Shop will be launching, and that's where you will find my products.
Excellent.
And currently my products are on my, you know, drphoenyx.com. They're currently there. But as we transition and delineate the brand a bit more, the products will be at the Fit Beauty Shop.
Nice. Dr. Phoenix Austin, on behalf of Body Scope of New York and 6 Weeks of Fitness, I truly want to thank you for coming on our show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And to my listeners, I truly hope this program was informative, encouraging, and inspiring, and that you will continue tuning in to our 6 Weeks of Fitness podcast. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for my show, please leave them on my 6 Weeks of Fitness blog at www.6weeksoffitness.com, or email me at vince@6weeks.com. Take care. Bye-bye.